Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's bring in the professor, John Clayton. You hear him up in Seattle. Does a great job there as the podcast rolling. And he joins us on Kozlow and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And John, thanks for joining us. And we just heard news that Richard Sherman goes to the IR. He's out at least 3 weeks with what they think is a leg injury. How do you think that affects what the 49ers do defensively now that what they many consider still to be a lockdown-type corner is no longer there for at least the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, all of a sudden, I think that, you know, I was suggesting maybe with the injuries of wide receiver, there'll be, you know, that Super Bowl hangover and just get a lot of aspirin. This is turning into a Super Bowl migraine right now because, you know, you can see the one thing that I think can be questioned on the 49ers, and again, you can understand with the tight cap and everything else, you can't do everything, but not being able to upgrade the cornerback position because that was a problem. Certainly you saw in the Arizona game, but it wasn't Richard Sherman. I think I saw one thing where as all the routes that Andre Hopkins ran, he ran a whole bunch at Richard, and Richard only gave up two completions. So now you take him out of the mix, and you can see that they can be in trouble. And that's the one I think you can see Seattle and what they've done. They've tried to upgrade in the secondary because that's where you need to do some things, particularly not just in the pass game, but the run game. And their addition of Jamal Adams combined with Quentin Dunbar and also getting another safety in Jahndre Diggs gives them the flexibility, you know, to face the Arizona type of offense, to face the running offenses in San Francisco and the Los Angeles Rams. And I think of, you know, of all the injuries, to lose Sherman, their shutdown cornerback, that's huge. That could really hurt them. Won't hurt them this week coming up because they got a New York Jet team. It's terrible. But it's certainly going to hurt them down the line, depending on how long he's going to be out.
No question, Professor. You look at that, and you've seen Adams, what he brought to that Seattle defense coming off, blitzing, playing in the run game, playing in the box. Really, really gave Atlanta Falcons hell, made a lot of big plays. If you're the Niners now, like you just alluded to, where are you going to find a lockdown corner? Would you not focus on that defensive front, look at like the lack of pressure force? You know, you look at, you know, D Ford, his knee hasn't been really effective. Would you think about bringing in a D lineman, or would you still think about secondary?
I think you got to start thinking about the secondary, but the problem is this late, and particularly this late in the week, it's going to be hard to be able to get anything. But I think they've got to look because, you know, we don't know if it's a hamstring, if it's the Achilles problem that he's had before. And I just say Achilles, not because of the long term, because again, he did tear the Achilles a couple years ago when he's in Seattle, but just maybe an aggravation of that. But that's where the scary part is. And I think that, you know, they needed to bulk up the secondary this offseason, particularly at cornerback, because if you go in as they had with the same corners that they had last year, and Witherspoon, of course, has been a disappointment. You know, Mosley's actually done pretty well. But if Mosley's your main guy and Barrett's not able to play, that could be very problematic as this season goes on.
When you look at defensive problems for the 49ers, just through 1 week, you had a lack of a pass rush, particularly in the interior, DeForest Buckner's absence showing early on. What's the availability of pass rushers or corners right now on the open market if the Niners were looking for a short-term plug-and-play solution?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tougher. It's tougher on the defensive line, and I think you even saw Seattle find that out because they need some defensive tackle help, and they weren't able to get it, and that's mainly because guys like Marcell Dareus, Damon Harrison, and others, you know, they pretty much put a price tag on what they wanted to get, and if they didn't get it, they just decided, okay, I'll sit out the year. And you notice those names haven't been mentioned in the last couple of years, but as far as the cornerback, one of the last ones out there, and obviously, was Logan Ryan, who ended up getting a $5 million deal. But overall, I mean, it's pretty well knocked down right now what's going to be available. And so I don't know if they need to start looking maybe to explore a trade possibility. That could be the case. But right now, the market's pretty dry for cornerbacks, particularly shutdown cornerbacks. They're not available.
Oh, boy. The Professor John Clayton joining us. You hear him on 710 ESPN up in the Pacific Northwest, up in Seattle. And he's in the writer's wing of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, joining us on Kozlow and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. That's the defensive side of the ball. The day started for us here in the Bay Area talking about the Niners and the offensive side of the ball. They signed Mohamed Sanu. He's someone who understands Kyle Shanahan and his offense, but he was cast away by Bill Belichick, who's known for getting rid of guys a year early as opposed to a year too late. And then the name Allen Robinson popped into the discussion because he's up in arms about his contract with the Chicago Bears. If you're the 49ers, and maybe the Richard Sherman thing changes your view of things, if you're the 49ers, do you still want to address the passing game if you have an opportunity? Would you pick up the phone and call the Bears and inquire about a number one wide receiver like Allen Robinson?
You would, but then the price tag is going to be tough, along with the fact you have to give them a new contract. And new contracts is a big problem for the 49ers because they have so many guys they got to take care of on their own team. You know, the Trent Williams, the Kyle Juszczyk's, you know, the four, I guess you could say the top four cornerbacks, if you want to say that, on the for the 49ers. You know, some of those guys have to be taken care of, and you know the tight cap is going to be tight for next year. So I think you call, and if you can get some kind of a discount deal on Robinson as far as draft choice, then you do it, but then you put yourself in a real tough position because then you have to say more players on the 49ers that you want to bring back aren't going to be able to come back. So I think right now, you know, getting Sanu makes sense because he's been with Shanahan. They know him, but here's the scary part about that. You know, you look at the Patriots, and they were desperate last year for wide receiver help and tight end help, and they got worse by letting Sanu go. And so what does that mean? Because I know that they went to being a running team, but then you take his $6.5 million salary out of a team that really didn't need cap room. That's got to be a little bit scary. And that's, again, Bill Belichick probably saying, okay, I'll go with the younger guy now. We'll get rid of Sanu. And so there probably is some kind of a decline in Sanu that you have to wonder about, you know, because, again, he went there. He had injuries. He battled injuries all through the remainder of the season last year. And on a team right now that had basically Julian Edelman, a first-round pick from last year, and nothing else, to get rid of Sanu, that's a little stunning to me.
It really is. So when you look at the Niners, is it more running? What do you see that the Niners are going to have to do just to hold it down until the cavalry gets healthy?
Yeah, more running. And you watched it over the weekend. You know, I know that Aaron Rodgers threw for over 350 yards, and Russell Wilson won the offensive player of the week, getting 31 to 35. But you know, I think the percentage was like 46 run, 54 pass. And, you know, I think that it was easier if you wanted to try to run the football because the tackling was so bad. You know, nobody had tackled anybody really all this summer and all in the off season. So this was the first real chance. And so just try to tackle now. Of course, you know, this week there's no panic because it's an easy type of game, no Le'Veon Bell or anything else. But I think right now the concentration has to be on running the football. And clearly that means more two tight end sets and just try to, you know, get as much as you can out of one of the most creative run offenses in football.
No Le'Veon Bell, but a healthy dose of Frank Gore in gangrene going up against the 49ers. That'll be a fun moment to be sure. How do you put Frank Gore's career into perspective? Is he surefire Hall of Famer or just a very good player who was able to aggregate over a long career?
No, I think he's a surefire Hall of Famer because the big thing, he's had the yards and he's had the success and he's done all the things that you want from a running back. He's been that good and he was still good even last year in some of the things that he did. Now we'll see how we test them out, which I think don't judge him this year because you know they've got four new starters on the offensive line with the Jets and that's problematic. I think you can see how that was exposed in the first game, just like it was exposed by the Miami Dolphins going against New England. But no, I think he's a surefire Hall of Famer. At least as a voter, that's what I think.
If that's the case, that he's a Hall of Famer, when you look at the Niners in this matchup, what concerns you with this team that they're playing, the Jets? What is one of your main concerns if there is the letdown? Where would you attack?
Well, basically, I mean, I don't think there's too many concerns because They're weak at the cornerback position. They didn't do much there, and that's a problem. You know, they got an offensive line that's in a total overhaul, which is not the necessarily best thing to do when you have no off-season program or no preseason games. And right now, you maybe if you overestimate what Adam Gase can do, then maybe you get a little bit too overconfident. I think confidence is more the problem here. I know when I did my AP vote this week, you know, instead of having, you know, Washington is 31 and having, you know, Cincinnati is number 30. I had to move the Jets down to 32 just because they look so bad, and it seems to be a very unhappy team. You're talking about a team that Jamal Adams was able to get away from, and you see how good Jamal Adams is, and it's like, how can you get rid of somebody as good as this when you had the cap room to pay him? Just pay the man. So I think right now the only thing that you worry about, even despite the injury problems for the 49ers, is overconfidence, and I think that Kyle will be able to take care of that.
Professor, we always love talking to you, buddy. John Clayton does a great job up at 710 ESPN up in Seattle. I hope we can do it again real soon, but we love your insights. Thank you so much, and I hope everything goes well for you, and have a great rest of the day.
Okay, thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.